So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at Sierra.com.
Exclusive wild card playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wild card playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is Rico Bronya. Welcome into a new edition of the Rico. Evan Roberts, we got a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about nothing, honestly, because the offseason is obviously at a standstill, not just for the Mets, but for a lot of teams. Though we did see the Edward Cabrera trade, which we will discuss in relation to the New York Mets. I will address a very angry email I received in which the headline is Evan Roberts is a shill. So we will address that. Framber Valdez versus Ranger Suarez, all sorts of goings on. Oh yeah, the signing of Christian Arroyo, who could forget that? But I want to start with Kyle Tucker again. And before I did this edition of the Rico, I actually went back. I don't listen to old Ricos. I'm not one of those people that want to hear myself talk. The only time I go back and listen to old stuff is A, if I'm looking for archive things that I may want to play, or B, if there's a segment I really hate and I just want to get better, right? It's like watching film. And I went back, and you could actually do this when you listen to podcasts, whether it's the Rico or any other podcast. You could, especially I think if you download at Apple Podcasts, I'm sure you could do this in other places, but I know you could do this with Apple, where you can search a transcript and you could put a word in. So, for example, you're listening to the Rico and you just want to hear if your email is read. I guess you can search your name. And if I ever say that name, it pops up that point of the Rico. So I went back to the last few Ricos and searched Kyle Tucker because I have been adamant that I don't see a world in which the Mets sign Kyle Tucker. And the reason I went back and listened to the archives is I wanted to make sure that I was not expressing that I don't want Kyle Tucker, because those two things are very different. There's a difference between, based on the way this offseason has gone, based on the signs I'm kind of reading of the David Stearns offseason, based on a lot of little things, I don't see them signing Kyle Tucker, which I'll continue to expound on. But I wanted to make sure in those discussions, I was never putting out there that I don't want Kyle Tucker. Because while Kyle Tucker may come with flaws or may come with questions, obviously he missed time last year due to injuries. There's even these outside questions about his love of baseball and things of that nature, or how he fits on this team, or versatility, or are they too left-handed? I'm not saying he's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I wanted to go back in the archives and make it very clear that I never said I don't want him, because I would. I mean, if the news broke, whether it's today on the Rico or if I'm live on the radio, that says Mets sign Kyle Tucker, and we don't have the details on a contract, it is just simply the Mets have agreed to a deal with Kyle Tucker, I would be excited. I mean, why wouldn't I? He is an excellent ball player who would make this lineup a lot better. He's really good defensively. He's a fine baseball player who makes this team better. Right? So obviously, I'd be excited about it. I would then ask, what's the contract? What's the contract? Because that does matter. How much a guy is being paid to a degree matters. How many years he got matters. So before I continue on with my reasons on why, despite recent reporting, I still don't buy the Kyle Tucker stuff, I would be ecstatic if they signed him. Would it be enough for me to say I prefer this over keeping Pete Alonso? I'm not saying that. I almost think we're at a point in this offseason where I'm not sure if there's anything they can do that would make me say, oh, this is even better than what I thought of or what I was hoping for. Because I don't know if that could happen. Maybe it can. They trade for Tarik Skubal. They sign Kyle Tucker. A bunch of unimaginable things all happen. Is there a chance you and I, forget just me, but everyone in the audience, walks around and says, hey, this offseason was great? I don't know if we can get to that point. But I do agree that the offseason is incomplete. And so while I may not be happy right now, and I don't think most of us are happy right now with the offseason, we are open-minded enough to know that things can change on a dime. Now, let me get back to Kyle Tucker. So some of the recent reporting, Jim Duquette was one of them, who I respect. I respect these reporters. I'm not saying they're making anything up. Is around, there isn't a huge market for Tucker. That he may have to settle for a short-term contract. I have said in the past that that's the only avenue I could see it end up happening, where the Mets somehow swoop in and get him, though I still don't think that would happen, is if he has to settle for like a 3-year deal with a bunch of opt-outs. But even that, and I'll give you two big reasons why even that would cause me, three reasons why that would cause me even still to not think they would get him if he had to settle for a short-term deal. Point number one is the qualifying offer. We talked about this with Michael King, and I think it would qualify with Kyle Tucker, which is I don't believe they'd be willing to give up the draft pick capital for a guy who potentially would be on a 1-year contract. Now, I want to chime in with my opinion, because that's what I don't think the Mets would be willing to do. If you ask me, all right, Evan, would you be willing to lose the draft pick compensation that comes along with signing a qualifying offer free agent like Kyle Tucker, and it's a 3-year deal, it's huge AAV, he has opt-outs, he opts out, and he's gone after a year. Are you willing to sign that player despite losing a pick? I would actually say yes. The reason I say yes, and maybe I wouldn't say it about Michael King, is I think the reward on Kyle Tucker is high. He is an elite-level player when healthy. He is a guy that changes the complexion of this lineup. With all due respect to Cody Bellinger, and I've said this on The Fan, mostly in Yankee discussions with Cody Bellinger versus Kyle Tucker, we got to cut it out. Kyle Tucker's a far better player. Now, you can tell me all you want about versatility or the kind of contract he's going to get. I respect that. I get that Cody Bellinger may sign a 4 or 5 year deal, which Kyle Tucker is not signing, and Cody's going to make a lot less money, and Cody can play center field, which Kyle Tucker hasn't done, and Cody can play first base, which Kyle Tucker hasn't done. I get that. I respect that. There's a value to that. Kyle Tucker is a more consistent and better offensive player than Cody Bellinger. So that goes without saying. But if he signs that short-term opt-out laden AAV contract. Number one, despite my willingness to do it, I don't believe David Stearns will be willing to give that contract out, knowing he could opt out after 1 year or 2 years and they would lose him. And by the way, they would not get the qualifying offer ability on Kyle Tucker, because once the QO is made, it's one and done, as we saw with Pete Alonso. So it is a double deucer for you in that you give up, you don't get upon losing him a year or two from now. I am heavily skeptical that David Stearns would be willing to do that. And for the record, I disagree. I would. Number two, while I appreciate the spending of Steve Cohen when it comes to signing Juan Soto, I don't have any confidence he'll outbid the Dodgers. I'll be honest with you. The Mets have a high payroll. That's great. The Mets are going to have a high payroll. That's great. I'm not denying any of that. I'm merely telling you, and I think most people would actually agree with me on this, if Kyle Tucker is settling for a short-term high AAV contract, do you think he's outbidding the Dodgers? I don't. Now, I think if we sat here a year ago, even 6 months ago, maybe the confidence level would be different, and we'd say, oh, yeah, they'll outbid the Dodgers. They outbid the Yankees for Juan Soto, which they did, and I'm not taking anything away from that. In this particular instance, with this particular player, considering what the Dodgers have already done and what the Dodgers have left to kind of fill out their roster, they need Kyle Tucker's not fair. They don't need Kyle Tucker. They're the World Series favorites without him. They could use Kyle Tucker. He fits what they're looking for very well. And if you're talking about a short-term high AAV contract in which, dare I say, they defer some of that money, I have every reason to believe the Dodgers will bid more. I also have every reason to believe the Toronto Blue Jays would bid more. And those are the three teams that are currently being linked to Tucker. The Blue Jays, the Dodgers, and the Mets. I also think if you're Kyle Tucker and you're ultimately accepting a short-term contract in which you're hoping to have a big, big year and then go back in a free agency and maybe win along the way, are you picking the Mets over the defending world champion LA Dodgers 2 years in a row and the defending American League champion Toronto Blue Jays? I don't think you are. So I continue to list the reasons why I just don't see this happening. And I really hope that my fellow Met fans don't buy into this too much, where you get excited over something that I just don't think is realistically going to happen. On a short-term contract, I don't believe they're going to be willing to give up the draft pick. On a short-term contract, I don't believe they are willing to outbid the Los Angeles Dodgers. On a short-term contract, I don't believe they're willing to outbid the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's get to the long-term contract. Kyle Tucker still wants a long-term contract. Do we really believe, despite his age and despite his defense, that they are willing to give in on another super long-term deal? And even if Tucker doesn't end up with what maybe he thought going into free agency, even a 7-year contract, let's just go with that, because that's less than what I guess was rumored to be believed he was going to get. Are the Mets giving Kyle Tucker a 7-year contract? I don't see it. Are they giving him a 6-year contract? I don't know if I see that either. You know, if you look at the priorities of this offseason, it was getting rid of a long-term contract in Brandon Nimmo, not even offering Pete Alonso, not even by computing the idea of giving Pete Alonso a long-term contract. And so the additions they made, Jorge Polanco on a 2-year deal, taking back a shorter deal in Marcus Semien, I don't see how they're going to be willing to give out that kind of long-term contract to Kyle Tucker. So again, I am now at the point in this offseason where I'm trying to move myself away from the emotion of letting Alonso go and the disagreement I had with their unwillingness to even hand out a 4-year contract. Obviously, it was going to take more than that. It was a 5-year contract. And I remember I mentioned about a month ago to everybody, hey, if they sign Cody Bellinger to a 5-year, $155 million deal, while I like the player on my team, I think my first reaction would be, are you serious? You wouldn't give it to Pete, but you gave it to him? I'm here to tell you, I think I've moved past that, because I want this team to be good and they need help. This lineup needs help. Their outfield right now is nothing. It's Juan Soto and pray for rain. That's all it is. It's Tyrone Taylor, who's a fourth outfielder. It's Carson Benj and Jet Williams, who are prospects. Don't give me Jahan Bey. I mean, they don't have an outfield. So, yeah, if you told me tomorrow, contract be damned in terms of what Pete should have gotten, that Cody Bellinger is being added to the fold or Kyle Tucker is being added to the fold, I'd be very excited to start making my new Mets lineups. I won't even make a Met lineup. Sometimes during the offseason, we have fun with that and say, hey, let's put together that mock Met lineup. I don't even want to do it because it's so depressing. The only thing I'll do is continue to make the point that Juan Soto should be the leadoff hitter for the team. That's literally the only point I'll make about it. So that's where I stand. I remain very, very skeptical about the Kyle Tucker connection that the Mets have. And even the Cody Bellinger stuff. It feels like Cody Bellinger right now, this is the way it feels about Bellinger and the Mets' involvement and the Yankees' involvement, that the Yankees so far have been the most serious team for him. They're trying to bring him back. What is that contract? It's probably a 4 or 5 year deal. It's probably $30 million a year. And Cody's agent, Scott Boris, isn't getting the market he expected. And so while the Dodgers are probably interested on a heavily deferred contract, because that's what they do, and while the Mets are probably interested, I don't think any of those teams have matched what the Yankees have matched. And I don't think there's a willingness from Scott Boris to say, okay, that's the best deal. Let's go take it. So it feels like the Yankees right now are almost battling themselves. Scott Boris is holding this thing out until he gets what he wants, which is probably more than Pete Alonso got. And for us, we have to just kind of wait and see. And maybe there's a let Kyle Tucker sign aspect to this. Let the Dodgers miss out on him. And maybe they're a bigger bidder for Bellinger. Again, the Mets don't get Kyle Tucker. So now their real only major upgrade option in the outfield is Cody Bellinger. So I think we are in the midst of a standstill. But I think we're in the midst of a standstill where the Mets have to outbid the Yankees for Cody Bellinger. And I just don't see it happen.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So as we sit here today, and I am recording this on January 7th, maybe you downloaded this on Thursday, January 8th. We're actually recording this earlier. I have a new schedule, so this may be good for some people who consume us live on YouTube. It may be bad. I don't know. I can't promise they're all going to be 7 o'clock at night. They may be later at night like they traditionally have been, but we're trying new stuff. I got new hours. Hoff's got new hours. It's a new world, as they say. But as we stand here today, no matter what the date is, I have very little confidence that either of those borderline to elite level outfielders in Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger will be New York Mets. Let's get to the Edward Cabrera trade. I am not disappointed by the Mets not acquiring Edward Cabrera. Edward Cabrera is the kind of guy that has a huge upside because of his stuff. Because of the fact he throws a 97-mile-per-hour sinker, the arm is electric. But considering what the Mets need, and I believe the Mets, and I've said this for a year and a half straight now, so I feel like I'm a broken record. I apologize. They need certainty. They don't need high-end projects. So as there were rumors, specifically with the Yankees around Edward Cabrera, I saw it. I listened to it. We had talked about Edward a few months ago in the Rico trade podcast that we did for starting pitchers. It's just not the right guy for this team. Now, when you look at what the Chicago Cubs ended up giving up, because the Cubs acquired him, they gave up a top 50 prospect in Owen Cassie and then two other prospects in Edgar De Leon and Christian Hernandez. What's the equivalent? Well, that would be a top 50 prospect. So that's Carson Benj. That's Jet Williams. Let me stop you right there. And I think we'd all agree on this. Maybe most of us would agree. I am not giving up Carson Benj Forget about the two other prospects I have to throw in. I am not giving up Carson Bench for Edward Cabrera. I'm not doing it. Does he have a high upside? Absolutely. Could he click and stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to do so far in his career? Absolutely. Can he kind of take the stuff and the control and put it all together? And it's on the table. I don't rule out how good Edward Cabrera could be.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
But that's the key phrase, could be. I am not comfortable, nor do I think it would have been smart to trade a Jet Williams or a Carson Bench for a could be. As I've talked about in the past, when it comes to Tarik Skubal, let's go. And that's a guy who's a rental. Edward Cabrera, you'd have a few more years left of control of. So I see this trade, and A, he's out of the NL East, so that's a good thing. I would have preferred him going to the Yankees because it meant the American League. He is a tough customer. But as far as my interest in a trade like that, I don't have it. Because I think the Mets have, not specifically like Cabrera, but they've got high-end potential who are questions. Can I give you an example of who fits that? Kodai Senga fits that. He does. He's high-end potential. Can he stay healthy? Which Edward Cabrera's had a problem doing. Well, if Kodai Senga's healthy, I'd argue, and I really don't have to argue it because the stats back it up, has been better at the top of his career than Cabrera's been so far. So I don't need, nor do I have a strong interest in trading for those kinds of players. Where the Mets are, they need certainty, which leads to what Buster Olney said the other day. Now, I know a lot of Mets fans may not like Buster Olney, but Buster Olney speculated, education speculation. Yeah, educational speculation, however you want to phrase it, that the Mets will end up with either Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez. Let's discuss. So I want certainty. I've told you that that's my priority. That's what I think this rotation needs. I think they have a lot of questions already. Clearly, Framber Valdez provides the certainty when you look at his major league career. And by the way, I think this breakdown that we're about to go through on Framber Valdez versus Ranger Suarez is very close. So before I go through all the different aspects of it, before I ultimately tell you what I prefer, I do admit that it is close. Now, from an age perspective, we have to remind ourselves Framber Valdez is 32, Ranger Suarez is 30. So we are talking about a two-year age difference. And for the sake of this discussion, let us assume that the contracts are similar. Okay, let's assume that both Suarez and Valdez, whatever that looks like, ideally a three-year contract, but maybe four, dare I say more than that, but I think we all realize if it's more than that, there's no shot in hell. David Stearns is giving it to them. But if we assume that all the contracts are the same, Framber Valdez is 2 years older. Framber Valdez has made 30 starts in three of the last four seasons. Why do I say that? Ranger Suarez has still not done that. So when it comes to innings, Framber threw 192 last year, 201 in 22, 198 in 23.
you see that certainty that I think is very important, that Framber Valdez takes the baseball every 5 days. That is, like, if I'm comparing all the different aspects of these two players, he has that. Ranger Suarez doesn't have that. Last year, Ranger Suarez threw 157 innings. Was he good? Yes, he was really good. He threw 157 innings. It's almost a full season. It's not a full season. And by the way, the 157 innings he threw last year is the most of his career. So I think that point number one, reliability based on track record, goes to Framber Valdez. That's number one. Number two, let's just look at who's been better the last 3 years. In fact, let's say 4 years, because in fairness to Ranger Suarez, he didn't become like an every fifth day starting pitcher until 2022. He was almost a late bloomer because remember, early in his career, Ranger Suarez was coming out of the bullpen. He did not become a full member of the Phillies rotation until 2022 at 26 years old. So in fairness to him, let's take those last 4 years, 22, 23, 24, and 25, and let's compare it to Framber Valdez. And let's just see, hey, over the last 4 years, how does it all kind of, how does it line up? Well, number one, the reliability I just talked about obviously is on Valdez's side. He has made 121 starts in the last 4 years, which it's easy math. That's 30 starts a year. That's exactly what you're looking for. Suarez is at 104. So you're talking about a 17-start difference in 4 years. That's about four starts per year that Suarez doesn't make that Valdez makes. In terms of ERA, Framber Valdez, 3.21. Ranger Suarez, 3.59. Very close, but edge for Framber Valdez. Innings pitched, 767 for Valdez, 588 for Ranger Suarez. So you're looking at almost 200 innings over those 4 years. That is significant. And so far, yes, these are all edges for Framber Valdez. The only stat that Suarez does well in is his control is a little bit better. He walks fewer guys than Framber Valdez. In those 4 years, Framber went to the All-Star game twice. Suarez went once. Overall, I think we would admit the edge goes to Framber Valdez. Here's where it's going to turn now, I think, with Ranger Suarez. The trend of, okay, that's great, Evan. You just told us about the last 4 years. Where do things look like they're going? Because you're not signing somebody for what they've done. You're signing somebody for what you think they're going to do. And as we've already mentioned, Framber Valdez is 32. Ranger Suarez is 30. You're talking about a two-year age difference. Last year, Ranger Suarez pitched with 3.20 ERA. Framber Valdez was at 3.66. Suarez, three straight years, has seen his ERA go down. He has seen his whip go down or slightly stay the same. He's seen his walks go down. He has seen his strikeouts pretty much stay the same. You've seen his FIP go down. You've seen his WAR pretty much go up. I mean, last year was one of Suarez's best seasons. The trend on Valdez is that last year was not a great year when you look at ERA and you even look at FIP. It's slightly up. His strikeouts remain similar. His walks were up. His last 4 years are 2.82 ERA, 3.45 ERA, 2.91 ERA, and then the jump to the 3.66. So I don't think Framber Valdez is necessarily trending badly. I think last year, yes, for him, is a down year, but I don't think there's enough data to tell you, oh, he's about to fall off the rooftop. Now, you have every right, we all do, to look at a man's body and say, how do I think he's going to age? Isn't that what people basically did with Pete Alonso? Framber's 5'11", 230. He's got that short, kind of pudgy look to him. Now, we've seen plenty of pitchers pitch late into their career with a little bit of girth. So does that overly concern me? Not really. What concerns me is not his height, not his weight. It's probably the amount of innings. And so the edge that I gave Valdez earlier on, which I stand by, is that he has more certainty than Ranger Suarez. That certainty also scares me because the amount of innings he's at right now at 32 is he's thrown 1,000 innings in his major league career. Ranger Suarez is about 250 innings less. And so if you buy wear and tear, if you buy the fact that it's not just age, it's not just body, it's the amount of innings you've thrown, there is some worry about Framber Valdez. The other advantage that Suarez has, and I really don't want to go nuts about this because I think the Mets have a lot of work to do. They got to be a playoff team before we worry about the playoffs. But is the playoff history? I mean, Ranger Suarez is one of the great postseason pitchers statistically we have seen. 42 innings in the playoffs, 7 earned runs, a 1.48 ERA. That's 8 starts in the postseason. Framber Valdez has a very mixed track record. He's made 16 starts. He has a 4.3 ERA. So where I put this on my ranking system is low, because ultimately I put more value in you getting me to the playoffs, you making 30 starts, than I do the track record that you have given us in a small sample size of pitching in the postseason. I don't think Framber Valdez can't handle the postseason. You know what I mean? I don't look at those numbers. Undeniably, they're not great. And really, his last bunch of postseasons have been awful. His World Series numbers are atrocious. I was looking back at his 2021 World Series. 4 2/3 innings, 12 hits, 10 runs, and 4 home runs in that series against Atlanta. So he's had some bad ones. I am not denying that, but I'm telling you that while I factor it in, I don't factor it in as high. I think the point of this exercise is that this is very close. I think Valdez clearly has the edge when it comes to their track record, but I kind of speculate, and I believe that we are going to see better out of Suarez for the next 3 years than we are Valdez. What do I base it on? A little bit of baseball savant, a little bit. A lot of it's the age. Some of it is the innings. Some of it is the downish year that Valdez had last year. Some of it is Suarez having one of the better years of his career last year. And then also the familiarity, the fact that he's pitched in the NL East, the fact that he's pitched in Citizens Bank Park a lot. And oh, by the way, you're going to have to go there again. He's pitched at Citi Field plenty. You're asking Valdez, even though the league change doesn't mean as much as it used to switch leagues. So to me, and I'm curious what the people think, you always can email us, thericob@gmail.com. Is that the email address? Yes, thericob@gmail.com. Or you can give us your comments in the YouTube right now if you're listening live. I lean towards Suarez. It is close, but that's my lean. Would I be happy if the Mets had either guy? I would. They have to improve this rotation. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. And I think the Mets have a chance to have a much better rotation next year with the guys that are already here. Like, I expect, this is where I'll be positive, because I am negative about the offense, negative about what's happened with that part of the offseason. Nolan McLean has a chance to be a stud. Sean Manaea has a chance to bounce back from last season. I mean, I'd argue he can't be worse. Clay Holmes has a chance to get even better with a second year of experience. David Peterson, if he's on this team, was pretty good for 75% of the year. And that doesn't even account the emergence of Christian Scott off injury, Brandon Sproat, Jonah Tonk. Like, they have potential in the rotation. It's not like they need bodies. They don't need bodies. They need certainty. They need reliability. I think to varying degrees, Valdez and Suarez supply that. They do. Do I think either guy is an ace? I'm a tough marker on what an ace is, and so my answer to that is no. I think for a while, Framber Valdez has been one of the more reliable pitchers in baseball, but do I put him as an ace? I do not. But to me, just one guy speaking, talking to all of you, just giving you my opinion, between the two, if Buster Olney is right, that one of those guys will end up with the New York Mets, my preference would be Ranger Suarez. I don't know if Pete can talk, so the way we're doing this is Hoff is driving home after producing the Carton Show with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle. But if you have an opinion on it, obviously you... Oh, look at that. Here's Pete Hoff. Oh, you're still at work? Oh, my God.
Poor guy. Yeah, well, your nets are going on right now.
Yeah, but doesn't your show end at 7 o'clock?
We went till 7:20 because that's what time the pregame starts.
All right, whatever.
We went a little extra.
Whatever. Well, who do you prefer between, if this is true, that the Mets will end up with either Ranger Suarez or Framber Valdez, and the contracts are pretty much going to be the same. I just laid it all out. I think it's very close. I prefer Suarez. Who do you prefer?
I do prefer Ranger Suarez. I feel like there's a there is an attitude issue maybe with Framber Valdez that I don't want to deal with. And after last year's locker room issues, I don't think we need any problems.
I'm glad you brought that up. I did not bring that up. There's, I guess, a little bit of a level of concern about that, like slightly, that he can be that, you know, crazy with his catchers if there's some miscommunication. So, I would put that as a little bit of an edge for Ranger Suarez. But, okay, that's fair enough.
I'd also take Cody Bellinger over Kyle Tucker at this point in time. What's that face about?
Why? Kyle Tucker's better.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah.
They both had their hiccups. I mean, Cody Bellinger fell off the face of the planet for a couple of years.
When has Kyle Tucker fallen off the face of the planet? And you should know, as a guy who's had him on his fantasy team his entire life. Like,
Did you watch in the last 2 months?
Okay, he finished the season with 22 home runs and an .841 OPS.
Did you watch the last 2 months? He had one home run and like.
I'm talking about full seasons. Like, I get that he struggled at the end of the year. I don't want to minimize it. And maybe I am by what I just said. I'm talking about full sample size. When has Kyle Tucker had a season? Maybe that I should clarify. A season that was as bad as some of the bad years Cody Bellinger has had. I'm looking at Kyle Tucker's numbers. Do you know he's never had a sub 800 OPS in his entire career? Never?
He's amazing. I'm not.
So then Kyle Tucker's better. He's better than Cody Bellinger. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I just don't think that they're going to go for Kyle Tucker. So I guess the Cody Bellinger is the easier contract to swallow at this point in time. It's going to be a lesser to deal with.
Well, the contract thing is very different. Like, obviously, if you're saying to me, knowing how it impacts other moves, which we acknowledge, your choice is 9 years, $400 million for Kyle Tucker or 5 years, $140 for Cody Bellinger. Okay. I mean, I get it. While Kyle Tucker is better, I don't think he's double the player. And that's what those two contracts would look like. And I do understand also the flexibility that Bellinger has. I think if Kyle Tucker comes here, either he's moving to left field or Soto's moving to left field. By the way, I do want to address this before I get to the email that called me a shill. Master Flip on Twitter, who's great. He's a great Met fan. And what he does is a lot of times is there'll be an interview in Spanish and he will translate it into English. Now, at first, Master Flip, if you're listening, I didn't trust you because I don't know you. I sound like Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers. You don't know me. So my wife obviously speaks Spanish. So I would say, is Master Flip telling the truth? And you are. So thank you very much. Juan Soto did an interview, and this is from Master Flip, so I want to give him all the love on this. The question was, which area of his game would he like to improve? And I'm going to read this quote as translated by Master Flip B. I'm the type of player who sets out each year to improve a specific part of my game. And thankfully, I've been able to see real progress season after season. Last year, I focused on stolen bases, and with the help of my coach, Anton, I made tremendous strides in that area. One aspect of my game that has been often questioned is my defense. This year and moving forward, I'm determined to put in the work to improve it. I'm committing to serious, dedicated effort to elevate both my game and my style of play. Defense will become a cornerstone of my development in the coming years. Some people think there's nothing left for me to improve, but the pride of a true baseball player is continuing to show something new, something different compared to the rest.
Can I tell you who that sounds like?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso at first base.
Well, in fairness, Juan Soto said he would improve his stolen bases, and he went out and had a 40-40 season. So
True.
Track record of Juan is there. I would love to see it. Like, I think our answer, all of our answers as Met fans, is go do it. And Juan has played left field. Kyle Tucker's played left field. So I'm not overly worried if I'm dead wrong about the Kyle Tucker stuff. And I hope I am. I said this at the top of the pod. He makes the Mets better. Like, I don't care about being right. I'm not gambling. I'm not making money off of it. I'm always just going to tell you how I feel. If I'm right, will I brag about it? Maybe. And if I'm wrong, especially on things that benefit my team, I'm happy about it. So I hope that Dan, loyal listener to Evan and Tiki and the Rico, sends all the clips of me saying Kyle Tucker won't be a Met. Kyle Tucker's an excellent player. He'd make the Mets better. Soto also went on to say that he'll play first base someday. Not now. And he'll always do what's asked of him and what's best for the team. So one thing about Juan Soto, because I think over the course of the last year, the lack of big hits, the solo home runs, especially all the talk about the clubhouse and, oh, it's Juan Soto's fault somehow. What I always heard about Juan, I heard about this before the Mets got him. I heard about it from the Yankees, and I certainly heard about it from the Mets, is that Juan Soto works harder than everybody. And I respect that. I appreciate that. No matter how much money you make or how good you are or where you are in your craft, you never stop busting your ass. And Juan Soto has clearly proven he's that kind of guy, and I respect it. Now, I want to read an email from David. David from Connecticut wrote an email in which it's entitled, Evan Roberts is a shill. And I want to read every word, and I want to respond because this hurt me. This very, very much hurt me. David writes, I debated sending this email, but after giving it serious thought, I feel it needs to be said. Evan Roberts' recent commentary has been increasingly difficult to take seriously. The abrupt shift in tone and opinion following Steve Cohen's public comments and subsequent outreach raises real concerns about consistency, independence, and credibility. Now, for the record, what he's referring to is Steve wanted to make very clear, not just with me, but with others, he was not calling the fans stupid when he talked about the whole payroll stuff. Now, I thought he was calling the fans stupid. I stand by that. When he said that's not what he meant, I am one to take one at face value. So that's what he refers to in regards to that. Now, here are the examples of me shifting on the Met offseason, which I have said over and over again has sucked so far. But here we go. Devin Williams. We were initially told it would be a failure if Devin Williams was the opening day closer. Now he's being portrayed as the next Dennis Eckersley. All right, let me stop right there, David. It was an absolute failure that they lost Edwin Diaz and Devin Williams, his replacement. Me pointing out that Devin Williams in the past has been an elite closer is not me buying in. I'll say it again. I don't want to have to say it again because I don't want the Rico to constantly be me reminding you of how pissed I am. I am not happy with what happened with Edwin Diaz. I am not happy that Devin Williams is replacing him. So you're 0 for 1. Luke Weaver, first framed as a project, he's now discussed as though the Mets have acquired the greatest setup man in franchise history. I don't think I've ever referred to Luke Weaver as the greatest setup man in Met history. I don't mind the signing. Is he a project? He's weird. Like,
most relievers are very up and down. There are very few relievers who give you consistency on a year in and year out basis, which is why I wanted them to keep Tyler Rogers, because Tyler Rogers supplies that. Luke Weaver, a year ago, not this past season we had. Well, you know what? Let me be fair. The first few months of 2025 before the hamstring injury, he was great. 2024, he was great. Before that, he was a failed starting pitcher. So what we're talking about with Luke Weaver is a bad few months after he came back from a hamstring issue. While I don't think he's the greatest reliever of all time, I don't hate the signing. So I don't know what to do with that second one. Number three, Pete Alonso's defense. For years, Evans dismissed defensive metrics in favor of the eye test, arguing that those who watch know he's better than that. Now suddenly metrics are heavily cited when they paint Pete in a negative light. I don't really cite the metrics. What I have cited, and I started saying this in September, was that he had a bad September. And that defensively, there are guys who are better. But what I've also said, David, is the guy that's replacing him as of this podcast has never played first base. And the idea that any of us could assume he's an upgrade over Pete Alonso is absolutely disingenuous, considering he's never played the position. So we're one for three. I'll give you the Luke Weaver one. Actually, now I can't give you Luke Weaver. I never thought he was the best reliever ever. Jorge Polanco. He previously didn't make sense for the Mets. Now he's a great fit, despite the team already acquiring a second baseman and despite Polanco having never played first base. David, I appreciate you calling me out. What I don't appreciate is how wrong you are about everything I have said. My opinion on Jorge Polanco remains the same as it was the day they signed him. He is a good ball player. He's a nice bat. And if you tell me he's the DH and will shift around defensively, I'm okay with it. If he's the first baseman, I have a problem with it. Now, I've been told by many, and I don't mean insiders, I mean by you people, Met fans, the Ricoers, Evan, admit it. He's going to play first base. Well, I'm not going to admit it until he does. And if he does, I don't like it. Fans are not asking for blind negativity, but we're asking for honesty, consistency, and independent analysis. I don't like the offseason, David. I'm not happy. Now, what may confuse you a little bit, and Sean Morash is very similar in this regard. Joe is not. I love Joe B. We are different in this regard. I have made my opinions very clear. I have a platform on Sports Talk Radio. I have a platform right here on the Rico where I am pissed about what happened with Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso. I have made that abundantly clear. I have not accepted it. I have not said, oh, actually, maybe we're back. I haven't done any of that. But I remember about three pods after the midweek massacre, as we are now calling it, there was an emailer, the opposite of David, saying, Evan, you got to stop. It's over. They're not here. You got to move on. And so what I am trying to do with these podcasts, whether it's earlier in this edition talking about Kyle Tucker and if I'd want him on the team or Ranger Suarez versus Framber Valdez or Cody Bellinger, is I've made clear I'm not happy, but I'm not giving up as a Met fan. I'm not giving up on the offseason. I have to continue to talk about what I think would be best for the team. But right now, this offseason sucks. It's a D. So with all due respect, David, I don't know what you think you're hearing that makes you think I'm happy, that makes you think I'm flipping on all these things. I'm not. You know, me saying that Devin Williams has had a good career as a closer, and I hope, keyword, I hope he gets back to that level, is not the same as me saying I'm glad he replaced Edwin Diaz. I'm not. I'm pissed at the way they handled those negotiations. And I continue to fundamentally disagree with this owner and this team president on their value of Pete Alonso. With that said, I do appreciate the email, because what I love about emails, even if I disagree, is it allows me to make these points in case there's anybody out there who's like, yeah, Evan's tone is acceptance. Well, a part of why it's acceptance is that it's over. Like, there's nothing I can do anymore about it. I've had to do it with DeGrom. I've had to do it with Alonso. I've had to do it with Diaz. Dude, it sucks. I'm not happy. But I also know as we continue through this offseason, we got to talk through it. And we got to talk about what they should do, because at the end of the day, there's going to be a RICO on opening day. There's going to be a RICO in spring training. There's going to be a RICO if they're 30-70. I'm a fan. I watch all the games. I want them to be good. And what I really want is to be wrong. What I really, really want is, like I mentioned, Dan, who listens to the RICO all the time and provides all the audio of things I said or Sean Morash said or Tiki said, I want him to remind me about how negative I was about this offseason when we are at a goddamn parade in October. That's what I want. So it's weird as a sports fan because I love Beningo. I love talking to him. He's one of the great fans. We are different. He will not give up how pissed he is about Alonso. And like, if I asked him, like the next time he came on the Fan, I said, hey, Joe, what do you think of Kyle Tucker? I don't even think he'd answer it. I think he'd go back to Alonso. And I respect that. And I think there are Met fans who are going to do that. I try as a fan to make my opinion clear. I am not happy. And now we move on and we adjust. So that's where I'm at on that. But thank you very much for the email, David, even though you pissed me off. And I wrote him back, too. Anyhow, here's an email from John. He's got an idea about fixing the MLB offseason, because we are sitting here in the middle of January, and there has been a slowdown really since the holidays. John writes, Evan, this is a bit of a long email, but I think it's an excellent and simple proposal to fix the pace of the MLB offseason. Without getting into too much detail, a hard deadline is a bad idea because it provides too much leverage to the owners. I want to stop you right there. I was listening, Hoff, to the show with Craig and Big Mac. And by the way, you know I love both guys, and I think the show has sounded fantastic for the first few days. But when Craig brings up, well, Rob Manfred offered the players a hard deadline, and they said no. They said no. Because a hard deadline with nothing else is restrictive to the players. It benefits the owners. So don't make it out like, oh, the owners and Rob Manfred are so good. They tried to fix baseball, but Tony Clark and the players are selfish. Stop with that. I love you, bro. But you know that that was completely an owner-favored offer to just say, here's a deadline. We tried. Stop. It's got to be more nuanced than that. Anyhow, I'm hoping that John's proposal is nuanced. Instead, what if we incentivize teams to sign players early? And what if those same incentives made a player want to sign early? Here's my proposal. Choose a date. Let's go with January 1st. Before this date, any player signed will not have a compensation pick attached to them. Before this date, any player signed will not count towards the luxury tax. You can even have multiple dates to phase the incentives. An example, attaching higher draft picks, fourth or third round, to increasing the luxury tax 100 to 150% after a second date, a later date, let's say February 1st. This will incentivize a team to sign a player earlier because doing so will cost less assets, i.e. draft capital and tax money. This will incentivize a player to sign earlier for the same reasons. Waiting will only make a player more costly and thus hurt his market. I know this doesn't fix the issue of parity in baseball, but I think that is a separate issue, not tied to the pace of the offseason. In the past, we never complained about the speed of the MLB offseason when only big market teams were competing for free agents at the winter meetings. The issue now is that nobody is competing for free agents at the winter meetings. It's merely a feeling out or checking in fest. In my opinion, this will be a better starting point than creating a salary cap, something the MLBPA will never agree to. I'd love to hear your thoughts. John, I love it. And I've talked about a variety on that, not as specific as you. So I give you all the credit years ago that deadlines don't work for this, the reason I just laid out. The deadlines are anti-player. They're pro-owners. It benefits the owners. That's why the players say no. They don't say no because they're selfish and they don't care about the growth of the game. Players like owners will say yes and no based on what benefits them. So they're both equally as selfish in how they make decisions. So I like the idea that there's an incentive for the player to sign. There's an incentive for the owner to sign you, but it doesn't restrict the market. Because you can't say no one can sign after a certain date, because then what happens? And you almost put like too much of a penalty on waiting too long, when ultimately, is there a penalty for waiting too long for the player? There is, but it isn't completely restrictive. So if Kyle Tucker says, I don't really like any of these contracts, I'm going to hold out through the deadline, and the picks attached to him versus the picks not attached to him, which I don't think is impacting his market. I don't think Kyle Tucker's market is being impacted by the draft pick attachment. I think it impacted Alonzo's market a year ago. I don't think it's impacting Tucker. Tucker could say, yeah, screw it. I'm sorry, it's not going to benefit the Dodgers and the Mets because they're going to have to pay the tax, but I'm going to hold out until I get what I want, and I'm willing to take this into February. So you would still have players cross that date line, but I think it's a great idea. I do. The problem is the owners and the players don't care. They don't care. They care about a new CBA, which they should. They care about the way that's going to look. But improving the offseason benefits who? Ask yourself that. Who does it benefit? It benefits me. It benefits you. It benefits fans. How does it make the owners money? It doesn't. Does it make the owners players money? No. It's literally just an entertainment thing for us as fans. And I got bad news for you. They don't care about us. Rob Manfred doesn't care about us. Tony Clark doesn't care about us. They don't care about us. So, unfortunately, and I fully expect it. And by the way, I publicized my guys in the afternoon. Rob Manfred's going to be on their program on Thursday at 4:30. So depending on when you're listening, it may have already happened. It's coming up. And I can't wait to listen to it. But let me make this perfectly clear so you understand. No matter what Rob Manfred says, he does not care about you. So when Big Mac or Craig asks about a deadline for the offseason, and Rob feigns like, oh, that would be so great, he don't care. Because it doesn't benefit the owners, and it doesn't even benefit the play. It doesn't benefit anybody other than me and you and the fans, and they don't care about us. So unfortunately, I appreciate the email, and I think most of us as diehard baseball fans have the same sentiment of trying to speed up the offseason or make it more exciting, but I don't think there's anything that really benefits the players and the owners to doing it. Hence, it's not a priority. Hence, it's not going to be done. The owners offered a deadline, not because they care about us. They offered a deadline because they know it would benefit them if the players ever agreed to it, which they were never going to agree to. So there you go. Email the program. We'll have a mailbag coming up in a couple of days where we'll hit a variety of Met topics that you control. When you email us, thericob@gmail.com, thericob@gmail.com. Let me just see if I missed anything. Oh, yeah, Arroyo. The Mets signed former Giants prospect Christian Arroyo to a minor league contract. Again, don't fret it. Right-hand hitting third baseman. Could he possibly end up in the major leagues at some point? Sure. But he has basically become a quadruple A player the last couple of years. Was not in the majors the last 2 years. I think the last time Arroyo was in the major leagues was 2023 with the Red Sox. Right-hand hitting third baseman. Used to be a big prospect. It obviously didn't work out for him. That's another one of those depth signings. So don't freak out about it. There's going to be plenty of those. We've already seen plenty of those. We do appreciate you downloading the Rico Bronya. New start time for Evan and Tiki, 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, if you want to check that out. And if you want to check out the archives of the Rico Bronya, including our rewatchable of Game 6 of the 86 World Series, that's episode 615. A lot of great feedback to that. We'll talk more about that on our mailbag edition of the Rico. And I do remind you, our next Rico rewatchable during this offseason is the return of baseball to New York after September 11th. It's infamously, famously referred to as the Mike Piazza game, the home run he hit against Atlanta in the return of baseball after 9/11. So whenever you guys have time, if you do have time, rewatch the game. We'll do a rewatchable on that in the first week of February. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, and hanging out with us on another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.